In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today marks a bit of a milestone for me. It was 3 years ago today, the fourth Sunday of Lent, that I began my journey as the interim priest here at St. Gregory's. That means that I have completed a full three-year lectionary cycle preaching from this pulpit. Well, actually, when I started, I was preaching from over there because I hadn't fixed the wireless microphone situation yet. But you get the point. A lot has happened in these past 3 years. Now, I started here with a very committed core of people who were determined to see St. Gregory's flourish. And for you all, I am exceedingly grateful. We have experienced death and birth. We have had new folks come. Some have stayed, some have left. We have some who have returned after being gone for a while. But what I really need to say is be prepared for some reruns, because I've pretty much preached every Sunday's worth of lessons that we have in the prayer book, and I'm planning on going through it another 9 or 10 times before I'm done. So back to the lessons. Well, 3 years ago, we looked at the parable of the prodigal son and how there are still so many prodigals out there who have wasted what God has given them but have yet to return to the Father out of fear or shame or pride. I then offered the challenge for us to be ambassadors for Christ by appealing to our mission statement, specifically the part about making disciples of Jesus Christ. This is still the challenge, and this is still our mission. But this morning, I want to revisit this a little bit and offer a couple of warnings. The first warning is based on the older son. Last time, I referred to him as the good son. Now, I did so in the written word in quotes, but I'm not sure if that was made clear in my delivery. He is, after all, only externally the good son. We have to acknowledge the setting of this teaching of Jesus to sort of put everything into context. Luke 15, 1-2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You see, the parable that Jesus told was as much an indictment of the good sons in his audience as it was a message of hope and redemption for the wayward ones. And in this, the warning for us is fairly clear. We cannot be like the scribes and the Pharisees illustrated by the elder son. Just because we do the right things and keep our noses clean and generally are responsible and respectable, that doesn't mean that we are any better off than the tax collectors and the sinners. There are two problems we see with this attitude of the elder son. One is his dismissiveness towards his younger brother. The other is his presumptuousness towards his father. See, if we are to fulfill our mission to make disciples, then we have to have people to make disciples out of. And that happens through evangelism. And we can't be effective at being evangelists if we're too busy being confounded by God's desire to reconcile everyone to himself. What in the world could God possibly do with that guy? Or how could God ever forgive that person? The infinite reach of God's love is utterly incomprehensible. But thankfully, we aren't called to comprehend it. We're merely called to allow it to consume us and to flow from us. We have to constantly acknowledge that no one is beyond redemption, and that every person, no matter how distasteful they may seem to us, who is one to Jesus, is a cause for celebration. And as far as the elder son's attitude towards his father, we can never presume that we have somehow earned what our Father has promised to us. Yes, we may have remained in his good graces and been hardworking and obedient, but the fact remains that everything we have is from our Father, and it is only through his amazing grace that we will receive our inheritance. Nothing of what we have been given or will be given is rightfully ours, and when we begin to think that it is, we are just as guilty as any prodigal child who has gone out and squandered what they too thought was rightfully theirs. And so for the second warning, we come back to the prodigal. Now, according to the illustration in the parable, one would expect the wayward sons and daughters to be in a similar situation, living in squalor, out feeding the pigs, barely scraping together a living. But don't be fooled by an overly literal take on this lesson. There are prodigal sons and daughters in all walks of life, from mansions to homeless shelters to every middle-class neighborhood. There are millionaires out there who are in just as much despair as the younger son in our story. Now, it may not look like it from the outside, but no amount of wealth or prosperity can provide you with emotional or spiritual health and well-being. And the opposite is true as well. There are plenty of people out there living hand to mouth who have a veritable wellspring of faith within them. So the warning here is not to make assumptions about someone based on their social and or financial stability. Those kinds of assumptions lead to missed opportunities for us to be the ambassadors that we are called to be. We are all in need of redemption and hope, no matter how nicely dressed or well-fed we may be. In the Christian life, we have to be a combination of both sons. Like the good son, we are called to be obedient, to remain in our Father's house and to do the work that needs to be done. We take our place at his table and enjoy the abundance that is there. But like the wayward son, we must acknowledge our sin and how we truly are unworthy to have that place at our Father's table, being ever grateful for his love and generosity. At times, we are all wasteful of what we have been given or presumptuous of what we have. The beauty is that the Father never stops loving and never stops giving, and he rejoices over all of us who choose him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.